How many downloads of Jim and Bill It's Another Day podcast?
Today, the podcast show has fetched 400 million downloads since its start, and an average of 350,000 downloads per episode, about 3.9 million downloads per week.
Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Look, is as cold where you are as it is here?
Oh, Bill. With the wind chill, it's 20 below zero. 20 below zero. You got to feel bad for the homeless.
I feel bad for them. You know, we've got illegals in housing we've provided for them.
Right.
And we've got homeless people, some of them veterans that fought for our country, that are living with a cardboard blanket on a street corner somewhere.
You know, when I was in New York a long time ago, I remember walking by in the cold, cold weather, these big shipping boxes, you know, cardboard boxes. They would put them on the vents from the buildings. The buildings would vent the heat from, you know, into the sidewalk vents. And the homeless would live in those boxes. I used to think to myself, this is not right. This can't be something which we become used to. But yet we have. That was like, well, that was a long time ago. If I told you how long ago,
would age yourself.
Yes. It was a long time ago. And yet we kind of have gotten used to it. How many people, Bill, do you think will die in weather like this?
Well, yeah. They haven't thawed out yet. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to be gross or anything, but, you know, there's probably a lot of dead people right now. And when the thaw hits, so will the stench. You know, we're getting to that point, and, you know, Trump, I hope, will be able to do something about it because he doesn't want that either.
Biden sure didn't do anything about it, did he? You know, I mean, we really made it easy for illegals to get housing and stay in decent places, and yet we have... And how about the people, by the way, in Los Angeles with the fires? There are people who have the means... But no place to stay. I follow a guy who's an actor, fairly successful actor, out there. He lost his house in the fire, and he and his family going around like they don't know where they're going to be sleeping the next night. And this is a guy who's had a lot of national success on major TV programs, you know. And
he's got all the money in the world, but if there's nothing left,
that's it. Exactly right.
What does that money do you?
Nothing. Nothing. You can have all the money in the world, and if you haven't got a place to stay, what good is it?
So. Yeah, and let me ask you this. Okay, you're out there. Your house burned down. Your records went with them. You know, but you go, well, I got money in the bank, and I got these here credit cards. Well, you got to pay the credit cards when you use them. You know, there's not a moratorium put on it for the people out there that are in a disaster situation, a crisis situation. It's due. What happens if things glitched in the banks and the digital record is corrupted?
And you lose everything?
You could.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I mean, you're not able to. Then you've got to sit there and use, go back and find records somewhere to forensically put back together your wealth.
Yep.
Well, you'll be frozen to death.
The proof is on you to prove that money is yours. You're right.
Yeah, so, you know, there's so many nightmares that have yet to unfold in this. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, President Trump is, I guess, one of his first trips.
California.
He said that, I guess, the first official trip out of the country is usually to Great Britain. It's like historic. But like you said, Bill, I think his first trip internally is going to be the end of next week to the fire-ravaged Southern California area.
Yeah, and he didn't necessarily say he's going to Britain first trip. He goes,
because
he even acknowledged, he goes, historically the first trip is to Britain, you know, which you got to think about, why do we go to Britain? You know, it's like,
He said last time, it was historically to Britain, but last time, Saudi Arabia said, well, why don't you come to Saudi Arabia? We'll give you $400 billion worth of business. And he said, okay, if you'll guarantee the $400 billion worth of business to our country, I will come to Saudi Arabia. And I think he did. And he said in the press conference yesterday, we've had inflation, so if they pony up $500 or $600 billion, maybe I'll go to Saudi Arabia again.
you got to look at it that way. Now Russia, I guess it was questioned, is he going to go to Russia? And that's where he said, well, usually the tradition is going to England.
Yeah.
But you never know on something like that. Russia has found oil, apparently, in Antarctica, which is thawing out anyway, So I don't know where that goes, but we've got the most oil. And he basically yesterday.
I should point out to people who are saying, well, see, there's proof of global warming. This is not something which hasn't happened before.
No.
I want to point to historical stories about the great glaciers that moved across North America and dropped all of the stones and granite and formed mountains. That was like 10,000 years ago. The world that we live in is constantly changing. It doesn't mean that the global warming is causing a great thaw.
It's happened before. We've gone through cycles. Now, Antarctica, is it melting away? Well, yeah, it's thawing out. Could it go away forever? Yeah, it could. But that doesn't mean there won't be another point or somewhere. Things shift in the globe. Yeah,
Bill, you say that, but I saw a story just recently about how they talk about Antarctica thawing, but yet, if you look at the map, it has a greater ice flow in Antarctica than it's ever had. It's huge, so it's not like they're trying to make it out to be. We're not in the crisis situation that the left wants you to think it is. By the way, President Trump did a moratorium on wind farms yesterday.
Yeah, I know that, which was a smart move. They're not doing what they're intended to do. And
right.
You look at the petroleum that it takes to keep the thing going, when it fails, which is within a few years, then you got, at least out in the ocean, you've got garbage that just doesn't dispose of itself. It just sits there and rots. There's nothing you can do with it.
Yeah. We have, he did a moratorium on the wind farms. Those wind farms, by the way, are causing whales to die. They think it's because of the constant noise from the
vibrations.
The vibrations and the noise from the fans. It's confusing the animals, and they're beaching themselves and dying. It's killing birds. Birds get hit by the fans. It's
animals, birds, whatnot. They navigate by certain things, like sonar. Dolphins, they're having problems with that too. Whales, and that's what's doing it. The vibrations throwing off their sonar that they have, not
right.
Electronic sonar. It's a natural, it's just they naturally have it. But now all of a sudden, the whale's going, oh, I got to take a hard left here, and then he's on the beach and he can't go anywhere but die.
And it's funny. There was a line from the TV series Landman. And the guy who, Billy Bob Thornton's character said, if wind farms worked, if that's where the money was, they'd be owned by Exxon. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, that's a pretty good answer. You don't see the oil companies scooping up these wind farms because they have the money to do it. They just don't think there's any future to it.
Well, he opened up drilling in Alaska, and, I got a son up that way that was a foreman. On one of the rigs up there, was hired to do that. I guess he's a trucker by trade, but he's up doing that. And during the Biden administration, not Indians, but the Eskimos, I guess, are a form of Indian, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, they are. They're indigenous people.
They have the oil wells. It's really theirs. And they hire, people to sit there and manage and run. And that's what, he was hired to do, but they were under the gun to hurry up and, you know, get as much oil as they could because Biden was trying to shut everything down.
Yeah. Well, that's changed. It changed yesterday. He opened up everything yesterday.
Well, the Democrats are going to try to block everything, you know, environmental things like that. But, you know, good luck with that. You know, either way, you know, the pumping's on. The offshore drilling is back on. But it's going to take a lot of money to sit there and get what was shut down by Biden running again. Because he, years ago, just in early on in his administration, he shut down offshore drilling. He shut down drilling in the United States. Well, that infrastructure doesn't take care of itself over the time. It just sits there, gets old, and rots.
Well, what's not going to cost you a lot of money is a good cup of coffee this morning. And we've got just the kind of coffee that you'll love to have again and again. It's Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee. What? Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee. You never heard of it. It's available at our rightsideshop.com, rightsideshop.com. It's a special blend of the finest coffee beans. It's a medium roast and a medium decaf roast. We have both sides of the street covered because I know some people can't have the caffeine. It's tough on their blood pressure, stuff like that. We've got you covered. We got a decaf, which is delicious. Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee. And again, it's at rightsideshop.com, where you'll also find a bunch of other, as my cohort in crime would say, swag. Not swag.
Yeah, I think we'll be getting some new swag soon. I got to sit down with the guys and sit there and say, okay, do this, 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 and this. You know, it's time because we are, when I say those guys and us.
Yes.
It is a very tight-knit, small. Did I say small?
I think you said small, yes.
Yeah. So there's not many of us.
Yes.
And that means that finding the time to sit down and do all of that, you know, because, you know, the amazing thing is if we get some help from people, we got to pay them.
I guess we got to celebrate 47, though, right? We have to celebrate the fact that President Trump is our president. So, you know, and I was watching him yesterday. I don't know where the guy gets the energy, but I should remind people that it's at rightsideshop.com, rightsideshop.com. We're the only people who have Juan Jose and the border crossers here, and they're a little nervous today because I guess they're now confused as to whether they have to go back across the border. I mean, all I can tell you guys is they do have phone lines, so if you're across the border, you still can sing our jingle. So don't panic. You just won't be here in our luxurious studios. But they are right now, and they're here to sing, so let them do it.
Wake up on the right side with Right Side Coffee.
They do it so well, too. That's Juan Jose and the Border Crossers. Like I said, a little nervous today, looking out the window a lot. I don't know why. I guess it's because things have changed. Speaking of things changing, Bill, do you see where, of course, the news media is down at the border right now showing crying women who were trying to sneak across the border. You know, they anticipated being able to just walk across into our country because that's what the story has been for the last 4 years under the traitorous Biden administration. And all that changed. All of it changed like the snap of a finger yesterday. I understand that Trump is putting military troops now, positioning military troops along the border.
You know, before he was inaugurated, there was a team set to go for everything that he was going to do. And the moment that he swore that the oath, you know, assuming the role of the president of the United States, they went into motion. A lot of what he promised was already being enacted upon, and he was doing that. Now, I know the Democrats are going, only a picture with his hand on the Bible. You do not have to put, there's nowhere that it says you have to put your hand on the Bible. And if you're going to question his faith, I question yours. So,
well, what you don't know,
you don't know whether
he could have done it in private afterwards. He may have walked behind, we didn't do it with the Bible, can you just do it again?
Well, let me ask you, Jim, you know, with everything that's going on, you got a beautiful woman, your wife standing right there with those Bibles right there, but you're sitting there paying attention, you've got everything in your mind that you're going to be doing, you know, because he hit the ground running, You know, and you're standing there going, I'm focused. I've got this to do. I got to do this. I got to get it right. There is nothing in the Constitution that says that you have to put that hand to seal the deal on the Bible. The fact that she was
it wasn't Trump's fault. They tried to make it sound like it was Trump's fault. It was Roberts' fault. All Roberts had to say, one second, Mr. President, or we have to wait until
put your hand on the Bible.
Put your hand on the Bible. Yep. He didn't say that. Roberts really rushed through it. If you watch the proceeding, it was like he didn't give the family enough time to even gather around President Trump.
Well, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. You know, have you gone to church and forgot your Bible? You know, that's why they put them right there in the pews in front of you. So you have the hymnal because you probably don't know the songs. So what kind of hypocrite are you?
No, especially for the left to make an issue out of that is very hypocritical because they have no faith, you know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, who are you to question? And the one thing that took a lot of cojones, was when he was sitting there, when he was talking right afterwards, he talked about in his speech that he felt that he knows that when he was shot, the only reason that he was here is because God, you know, had him here to, you know, do what he's, you know, meant to do. And he believes that, you know, God wants him to make America great again, fix the wrongs.
If you didn't get a chance to hear President Trump's opening to his speech, I have a few minutes of it here. Listen.
It is my honor and pleasure to introduce to you the 45th and the 47th President of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump.
Thank you very much, everybody. Well, thank you very, very much. Vice President Vance, Speaker Johnson, Senator Thune, Chief Justice Roberts, Justices of the United States Supreme Court, President Clinton, President Bush, President Obama, President Biden, Vice President Harris, and my fellow citizens, the golden age of America begins right now. From this day forward, our country will flourish and be respected again all over the world. We will be the envy of every nation, and we will not allow ourselves to be taken advantage of any longer. During every single day of the Trump administration, I will very simply put America first. Our sovereignty will be reclaimed. Our safety will be restored. The scales of justice will be rebalanced. The vicious, violent, and unfair weaponization of the Justice Department and our government will end. And our top priority will be to create a nation that is proud, prosperous, and free. America will soon be greater, stronger, and far more exceptional than ever before. I return to the presidency confident and optimistic that we are at the start of a thrilling new era of national success. A tide of change is sweeping the country. Sunlight is pouring over the entire world. And America has the chance to seize this opportunity like never before. But first, we must be honest about the challenges we face. While they are plentiful, they will be annihilated by this great momentum that the world is now witnessing in the United States of America. As we gather today, our government confronts a crisis of trust. For many years, a radical and corrupt establishment has extracted power and wealth from our citizens while the pillars of our society lay broken and seemingly in complete disrepair. We now have a government that cannot manage even a simple crisis at home, while at the same time stumbling into a continuing catalog of catastrophic events abroad. It fails to protect our magnificent, law-abiding American citizens, but provides sanctuary and protection for dangerous criminals, many from prisons and mental institutions that have illegally entered our country from all over the world. We have a government that has given unlimited funding to the defense of foreign borders, but refuses to defend American borders or, more importantly, its own people. Our country can no longer deliver basic services in times of emergency, as recently shown by the wonderful people of North Carolina, been treated so badly. And other states who are still suffering from a hurricane that took place many months ago. Or more recently, Los Angeles, where we are watching fires still tragically burn from weeks ago without even a token of defense. They're raging through the houses and communities, even affecting some of the wealthiest and most powerful individuals in our country, some of whom are sitting here right now. They don't have a home any longer. That's interesting. But we can't let this happen. Everyone is unable to do anything about it. That's going to change. We have a public health system that does not deliver in times of disaster, yet more money is spent on it than any country anywhere in the world. And we have an education system that teaches our children to be ashamed of themselves in many cases, to hate our country despite the love that we try so desperately to provide to them. All of this will change starting today, and it will change very quickly.
Okay, that's President Trump. That's just a bit of what he said, the opening part of what he said. And while he was saying that, while he was up there in front of the group in the rotunda, Joe Biden intentionally released a memo which actually spelled out the last and most interesting group of pardons. He pardoned his family, not all of his family members. He pardoned James Biden, his brother, Sarah Jones Biden, Valerie Biden Owens, John T. Owens, and Francis, otherwise known as Frank Biden. So his two brothers and their wives and a sister, I believe, were pardoned yesterday. And they did it while Trump was speaking so that he couldn't comment about it. I think they said it was 19 minutes before Trump took the stage. And, of course, you know that he was preoccupied with everything that was going on, President Trump. President Trump said, had he known, he said he found out right after he got off. Someone told him after he got off after the ceremonies were over, he said, can I go back? Can I go back and continue? But he said that tongue-in-cheek.
Mm.
What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I did some research on pardons and some history going way back to, what was it?
1915.
I went back to United States versus Wilson. The Supreme Court ruled that a pardon can be rejected by the convict. That means it goes away.
Right.
But either way, the justice verdict made it clear that one, a pardon can be issued before conviction and sentencing. It can be refused, which means then you're, you know, if you're guilty of something, that's it.
Right.
You know, but if you If you accept it, it's an admission of guilt. Pardon is not a declaration of innocence. Rather, it is a form of presidential clemency that acknowledges an individual's admission
That's of exactly right.
And demonstrated good behavior. So Biden's saying, well, they're good people. They've demonstrated they're good, but they've admitted that they've done wrong. He's admitting that he's done wrong. Jill has done wrong. And all the parties, you know, around have done wrong. Pardons are typically granted based on the assumption that the person's committed the crime and has since been rehabilitated. That's an assumed thing on his part. But either way, this goes on. But the simple fact is, and Trump even sat there and said, because they asked him, why didn't you ever pardon yourself? He goes, that's an admission of guilt. So Trump knows exactly what a pardon is. When you accept a pardon, you have admitted and accepted that, yeah, I'm guilty.
Here's what he said.
I was surprised that President Biden would go and pardon his whole family, because that makes him look very guilty. You know, I could have pardoned my family. I could have pardoned myself, my family. I said, if I do that, it's going to make me look very guilty. I don't think I'd be sitting here, frankly. If I did that, I don't think I'd be sitting here right now, because I would have shown that you're guilty.
Yeah, the ruling you're talking about, Bill, was a 1915 ruling by the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. Once accepted, the pardon serves as an imputation of guilt. Imputation, another word would be admission. An admission of guilt. So you accept the pardon. They have a nice way of putting it now. They're trying to make it sound like Biden created something brand new, a pre-pardon. A pre-pardon. No, what they're saying here is you put the pardon out there. What you're saying is you're guilty of these charges. Even if you haven't been charged, you're saying you did these and you're accepting the pardon. Yeah.
Yeah, but now it doesn't pardon you from anything in the future. In other words, I'm going to pardon you, Jim, for everything that you've done in the past, blanket, because I'm the president. But what that does not do is if you go out and leave here and commit a new crime, well, you're guilty of that. That pardon doesn't, it's not a blanket pardon.
Right.
You know, he was very specific with the Hunter pardon. He was, you know, very clear that he pardoned Fauci. Fauci came ahead and said, oh, I'm not guilty of anything. So Fauci kind of screwed up because he accepted the pardon, but he said, I'm not guilty of anything.
Well, did he accept the pardon?
Rejection. Huh?
Well, then what? Then
that's a rejection of the pardon then.
That's exactly
so,
right.
You know, I think he left himself hanging. He should have just STFU'd. You know,
not say anything.
Yes. Just go, okay, that's interesting. Now he could have said, that's interesting. I didn't know I was guilty of anything, but thank you. And left it at that. But no, he went on to clarify that he did absolutely nothing wrong. Well, okay, so you're saying you don't need the pardon. To me, that's saying I don't accept it. Thank you, but no thanks.
What Biden was asked about pardons just last week.
So, sir, on pardons, have you ruled out a pardon for yourself or any other additional members of the family?
For myself?
Yes, sir.
What would I pardon myself for?
That's what I'm asking.
No, I have had no contemplation of pardoning myself for anything. I didn't do anything wrong.
Mr. President, would you comment?
What's interesting, he knew what he was saying there. He said, for myself. He didn't make it. He didn't say, well, I'm not going to pardon anyone in my family. He said, for myself, I'm not going to pardon myself. I haven't done anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't say in that answer anything about anybody in his family, because he knew then he was going to pardon everybody, you know, his brothers, his sister.
Well, how extensive is his pardon? The one he did yesterday, did he include himself?
No, he did not.
Because once before
no.
he, okay.
No,
so he's left himself hanging.
Well, what's also interesting is with, I think it was Fauci, the pardon goes back to 2014. 2014, which was about the time when he started working on the gain of function with viruses. He started working on developing the COVID virus. Not vaccine, virus.
Mm-hmm.
So, And I don't know whether these are you going to hold up. I don't know whether these pardons that Biden put together are going to hold up. They may be challenged.
Well, here's the thing that I would sit there and say. Everything that happened with the January 6th committee. All right, now Trump pardoned the January 6ers. But when Biden pardoned the January 6th committee, that means they were guilty of a crime. You
right.
have to sit there and acknowledge the fact that that was a sham, which means any convictions that they did, true or false,
now,
should be off the table.
If you want to see how corrupt our media is, pay attention this morning. Pay attention this morning to the news. They're talking about the executive orders, like they're the bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of minimizing the Biden pardons. They're making an issue out of the executive. By the way, the executive orders he signed were magnificent. We talked about the wind farms and stuff and the opening up mm-hmm. the drilling. One of the first things he did was he pardoned 1,500 of the January 6ers. And, you know, he had a justification for doing so. Most of them weren't charged. Most of them weren't, it wasn't a lawful imprisonment.
Well, and the way I look at it.
They didn't mention anything about retribution, Bill. I don't know whether they're going to be made whole by the government for wrongful imprisonment, but I think they should be, don't you?
Well, actually, Trump may have done a favor to, in my mind, to the Biden, to the Democrats, because Biden pardoned the January 6th committee, which means that they were involved in doing something illegal. It's an admission. If they unless they go, I don't want that pardon, you know, they did something illegal. And that would be the January 6th committee that went after Trump. That means all the allegations, anybody involved in January 6th, you know, that should be wiped, because that's by them taking, yeah, I'll take that pardon. Okay, you committed a crime there by doing that, but we can't hold you responsible. But that means anything you did should be a moot point. So that means, in my mind, the January 6ers, at that point he did it, should have been out. Now, for Trump to give them a pardon, you know, them coming out means there's an assumption of guilt there, you know, to a degree.
What, the fact that he gave them a pardon?
Because, yeah, well, he gets them out of jail, but...
Well, I think he has sponged the charges too. There's the difference.
That would be the Now, if he did that, I didn't hear that. He expunged them.
Yeah.
Then that would be a good thing.
I mean, one of them was a grandmother, 74-year-old grandmother who was imprisoned for praying outside of an abortion clinic. You know, she was released. Biden imprisoned his enemies. He tried to imprison Donald Trump. And by the way, one of the things I happened to love yesterday about the speech was Trump went after him. He didn't pull any punches, and he did it within 6 feet of Biden and Harris, right to their face. Let him know how he feels. He wasn't rude, but he didn't pull any punches.
Yeah. No, he did the right thing with that. So... but it's going to be interesting.
He signed orders yesterday, and he did it in the Oval Office. By the way, the guy was on television more yesterday than Biden was in his whole 4 years. Went to the Oval Office, and he did this signing of these orders. And between each order, he had a gaggle
questions.
Of press people in there, and he was taking questions.
Casually.
Yeah.
You haven't seen that with Biden ever.
Never. Here's how some of it went.
So this is January 6th. These are the hostages. Approximately 1,500 for a pardon.
Yes.
Full pardon.
Full pardon or commutations?
Full pardon. We have about 6 commutations in there where we're doing further research. Okay. Nice to see you again.
Thank you.
So this is a big one. Anything you want to explain about this? We hope they get him. We hope they come out tonight, frankly. They're expecting it. Approximately 1,500 people. Six commutations.
Were there any cases you did not inform part of the people?
We're looking at different things, but the commutations would be the ones that we'll take a look, and maybe it'll stay that way, or it'll go to get a full pardon.
And the order does require the Bureau of Prisons to act immediately on receipt of the pardons and right. commutation orders. Sir, this is an
Why don't we get that down so they can get them going right now?
Yes, sir.
Is that okay?
Yep, absolutely. Okay. This is a proclamation guaranteeing the state's protection against invasion based on the current crisis at the southern border. It invokes various executive powers relating to the ongoing invasion at the southern border.
That those are not going to be blocked by the courts?
I don't think they will. I don't think they can be. They're very straight up. Why don't you take that and go over here? Can you get him over here? Not on the side angle. Do you mind? Just go right over here with your friends. Okay?
Sir, this is an executive.
And it goes on and on. He really was very open, very casual about his whole demeanor, his confidence.
You know, one thing that he did, and I believe it was an executive order, that the media is not talking about. What is the one thing that Biden did during his administration? What did he do with the Department of Justice?
He weaponized it.
Yeah. Trump sat there and said, there will be no more weaponizing of the federal government to
right.
go after your political opponents. That means when Trump did that, he can't go after, you know, somebody that runs against him or Vance. So that, you know, that bowl of cherries is for everybody. You know, sorry, but you're going to sit there, and which I thought, okay, you know, put up or shut up. He just put up and he just sat there and said, no, there's no weaponization of the government at all. You can't do that anymore.
You know, what's interesting and very sad is hours after President Trump was sworn into office, a Border Patrol agent in Vermont was shot during a traffic stop and killed by a suspected illegal alien. Now, somebody wrote, and it's so true, if you thought it was going to be bad for you before you did this, now you've just made it so that the Border Patrol is going to go like 100 times harder to remove you from this country.
They just put a gun in every illegal's hands, you know, or the assumption of a gun, because now, wait a minute, that's an illegal? I'm going to come up now knowing that I could get shot with arms bared.
It's not going to be a casual, inspection. It'll be probably armed, because you are to be assumed now to be dangerous. It's already been proven.
That's what I would do.
Yep.
I would sit there and go, you know, I'm sorry, but, and when you protect yourself, you're not just protecting yourself. You know, these people that are in law enforcement, they have wives, they have children, they have families. You know, they have to
Who would have thought that this would happen in Vermont, Bill? Vermont, you would have thought that they would have happened in Arizona or Texas.
That is the weed tip of the northeast of the United States, way far away from everything, and you got illegals up there?
Yeah.
Where else do we have a lot of illegals that would do that? All over the damn place.
Yeah, you got them in Maine, you got them in Minnesota, you got them all over the country right now. But I read yesterday where they're asking all local law enforcement to cooperate with Border Patrol, because the local law enforcement, they know where the illegals are. You know, they know where the part of town they're in, the houses that they're in. They just do. They know. So if local law enforcement, and a lot of them are going to. By the way, I heard something which I thought was interesting, and I almost have to recheck it because I caught it with, like, I was half listening. Maura Healey from Massachusetts is now, I guess, considering cooperating with the federal government on removal of the illegals. I thought, this can't be right. Yeah, but she's
got a big problem there, you know, and, you know, she's not a stupid person, you know. I mean, she might be a lefty-loosey liberal, but when push comes to shove, you know, she's got to do something right for that state.
Yeah.
And the thing is, she might want to cooperate, you know, because that place is going to hell pretty damn quick. And it might be time to start, you know, stop and smell the roses. Fetterman has stopped to smell the roses because the big rumor is the Republicans are going to gain another Senate seat from Pennsylvania. John Fetterman.
Yeah, he denied it. He denied it vociferously. Yeah.
But he might have denied it, but, you know, the rumor is he's still lenient. If anything, you might have at least a guy that will listen and is an ally.
Well, yeah, he might vote with the Republicans and not change his party. But, you know, if he's paying attention, a lot of people in his district probably voted for Trump. So maybe he's thinking, hey, listen, this is where I should be if I want to be reelected.
If his party is failing him and his values align more with the other side, you know, now if I were him, he's in a precarious situation. He can't just go, yeah, I'm going to do that, because then all of a sudden the Democrats are going to sit there and they're going to come full tilt on him. If I were him and was even considering it, I would just one day out of the blue do it, and that's that.
What a lot of people are not hearing about is President Trump yesterday and all the signings that he did. He revoked the security clearances of all 51 spies who lied. Do you remember the ad that they came out with in one of the New York papers? I think it was the Daily News front page. 51, like, former intel people, even people who had worked for Trump, they came out to sign an ad against Trump. Well, it was proven to be wrong. It was proven that the people who were wrong were not President Trump and his people, but the 51 people who put that ad together.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time the proof was out there that they had lied, it was over. Trump had, quote, lost the 2020 election. So yesterday he came out and he yanked the top secret security clearances of all 51 people, which, by the way, include Vindman and John Bolton, who was an advisor at one time of President Trump. The list is quite extensive. Brennan, I believe, lost his security clearance. Now, you may say, how important is that security clearance? Well, it's big time important. For these guys who make their living in many ways, because they have that security clearance, it's going to make life a whole lot tougher for them.
And does that prevent them now from being able to block and cover up certain evidence of actions that they've done?
I would think if you have a top secret security clearance, you may say, I can't talk about that because it's top secret. It's classified. But if you don't have a classified clearance anymore, you can't use that excuse anymore. Yeah. It couldn't happen to a nicer group of 51 people. I mean, they came out literally at a key point in the last election and specifically did it to hurt President Trump and the movement. And I'm one of these people who believe that the entire 2020 election was fraudulent, but that's just my opinion.
But the media is going to sit there and say, no, there's no proof this and no proof that.
I don't care. You're talking about a media that has been lying to me for decades, not just years, for decades. So do I care whether they say I'm wrong or not? I mean, I can prove they've been lying. I can prove they've been manipulating the news. They can't prove that I have been.
Yeah. So if I pardon the media and then you can prove that they were wrong, what does that do to them?
If you pardon the media.
No, I mean if Trump pardoned the media.
Well, he's,
that means that they were not guilty of anything, but all of a sudden they end up having to defend themselves.
That'll never happen.
Yeah.
The media is going to have to figure it out for themselves. Hey, look at $400 million deficit last year for CNN. They lost $400 million dollars worth of profit that they had made before. That may seem like no big deal. You may say, well, these big companies, they make so much money. Nobody can absorb a $400 million loss and not wince, okay?
I mean, they've got to cut budget, or they just got to sit there and reevaluate what they're talking about because...
We say that. How many times over the last few years have they had a new president come in and they've talked about going more mainstream, more neutral?
And they don't do it.
They don't do it.
So who's funding that? Because if you're $400 million in the hole last year, but you got all these big salaries and all the expenses that still go along with it, you know, there's something, you know, how are they cooking those books?
How many people did you hear complaining about Jeff Bezos and what's his name, Zuckerberg and Elon Musk all being at the inauguration yesterday? They were talking like they were traitors to the cause, meaning they were for years exclusive occupants of a position on the left. And now, mm-hmm. now they're going to Trump's inauguration and enjoying the celebration.
They're trying to say, yeah, you know, Trump is the party of the rich. He's placating to them and the whole nine yards. May I point out that during this last election, the party that raised a record amount of money, the most money, and it all came from the very rich, was Kamala and the Democrats. Over $1.5 billion, was it? And they blew it all?
Yeah. Yeah.
If Trump was in bed with all these rich oligarchs and everything, wouldn't they have just sat there and said, oh, wait, hold my beer, $1.5 billion? Watch this.
By the way,
that never happened.
Did you watch as they were being escorted up into the rotunda, the key people, former presidents, I saw Bill and Hillary. First of all, they showed them walking through a hallway that I guess is below the rotunda. Mm. And she looked 100 years old. I couldn't believe how old she looked. And she looked miserable, like she would rather be any place else but there. And I couldn't help but think something, this shoes that have not dropped yet. There, what we got yesterday was a taste of what's to come. And I think it'll probably happen after all of his cabinet is in place.
Did she get pardoned?
No.
Did Clinton get pardoned?
Not that I know of.
Obama?
Nope.
Hmm. Now, it's interesting, that, you know, because there is an admission of guilt, not just a presumption, but apparently there's knowledge of guilt to get that pardon. And they, you know, everybody that thinks Hillary did something bad, raise your right hand. I see hundreds of thousands of hands going up right now.
Yeah.
You know, the point is, there's a riff. In the party too, there is some divide there.
I think they're aware of the fact that Trump has said over the years, "We got all the facts. We've got everything. We've got mm-hmm. everything." Was a mantra that he kept throwing out to his supporters. We've got everything. And what I think they're afraid of now is he couldn't present that everything to Biden. Biden would have dismissed it or confiscated it, or I think that's one of the reasons why they raided Mar-a-Lago. I think that they're saying that, well, they went down there to see whether he was hiding stuff from his administration. No, I think they were down there to see what he had on them. And I think right now what they're afraid of is that all that stuff that he supposedly had on them is going to come to the forefront. I go back, by the way, to the picture of Catherine Herridge from a day ago when she's standing in front of the sign Camp Justice, which is Guantanamo, which is the prison down there. And she's standing there, and underneath the picture is a caption, just wait or more to come or something like that. I forgot exactly the wording, but it was along those lines. Like,
which makes me feel even more concerned about things. I'll ask you this question. Do you feel safer for Trump today than you did before his swearing in yesterday?
Oh, yeah. Now he has the staff, the entire Secret Service has the ability to protect him. Whereas
collated around him.
Oh man, when he was walking into the Capital One Arena in Washington yesterday,
right?
He was shaking hands with strangers as he was coming down the aisle.
Yeah, he's a very in the public kind of guy, which makes him hard to protect. I'm just saying, if there was a target on him, which we know he was a target, I think that target has just gotten bigger, you know, because, desperate moments, you do desperate things. The other side does not want, they don't want the JFK papers out. They don't want the RFK papers out. They don't want the MLK papers out. They don't want anything out because we've had a corrupt system. And he potentially is going to throw it all out.
And, you know, the thing about it is he had people in his first administration who shouldn't have been in positions of authority. And they showed their colors as the days and weeks progressed. They weren't really on his side. They were on the side of the deep state because he didn't know Washington. He didn't know the people who he could trust down there. Now, in this administration, he handpicked everybody going in. And by the way, he picked people who were outside of the Washington mainstream. I point to Pete Hegseth. Now, Marco Rubio is in that Washington circle, and yesterday he was approved, I believe, like 99-0. He's now the Secretary of State.
Well, Rubio's in. Hegseth is in. So
I don't think Hegseth is in yet. I think he's.
I saw that he was. That he passed.
No, I think he's up for a vote this week. But I don't.
Well, either way, because they said it was. I saw a headline that it was a win for Trump. That he was. So it could be that it was a misleading headline that I saw.
Well, you know, let me do a little check here while we're talking to see whether. Rubio wins top diplomat nod. So he got that. Yeah. And it doesn't say anything here about Hegseth. So maybe they're just talking about the fact that he's going to be up for a vote sometime this week.
I wouldn't consider that a win. The fact that he's up for a vote, that's not a win. The fact that he wins a vote, that's a win. Because anybody can be up for the vote. You know, so, but I don't see it. It wasn't on Gateway that I saw.
It said here several of Trump's nominees have yet to be confirmed. Tulsi Gabbard, Robert F. Kennedy, Kash Patel. Boy, I think Kash Patel is going to be controversial, but I think he's going to get in. But I don't see any mention of Hegseth.
There was something about him, but you know what? We're wasting time. You know, we'll find it after the show is over. So, you know, I would leave it at that.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how everything shakes down. He has the momentum. He's never been more popular, by the way, than he is right now. I mean, ever, in either administration. He has the weight of the country behind him. I point to, in his first inauguration, there were riots in the street. You remember the limousine being burned and things being broken? That didn't happen this time around. Now, some people may say it was too cold. That hasn't stopped him in the past, folks. When they want to riot, they riot and work up a sweat. This time around, I think he has more support from the people. It's a different world that we're living in right now. We just came through 4 years of the worst president in the history of mankind.
Oh, yeah. He's going down. He's got a spot in history. He was worried about his legacy. He's got it as the absolute worst president. Everybody knows it. He knows it. I think, you know, if you saw the look on his face as Trump was sitting there talking about it, and, you know, I thought it was, they didn't make enough issue of it. Yesterday was MLK Day, and that kind of took a back seat. But Trump sat there and acknowledged Martin Luther King Day and his dream, and that we are going to make his dream come true, which, you know, for a lot of people, that was a very resounding thing to hear. And you could just see Biden's face where he looked like, I could have been a great president, but I screwed up.
Yeah. You know,
because he listened to his surroundings.
Scott Jennings on CNN was delighted that we finally have a president again. Listen.
Well, watching Donald Trump's day today, I'm just struck by the fact that we have a president again. And look at this guy's day. Three speeches, 196 executive actions, holds a 90-minute press conference narrating each one as he goes along. I mean, Joe Biden could not and would not offer the kind of transparency or vigor to the American people that we got here on day one from Trump. And tonight, Trump's going to throw on a tux and go to three balls. I mean, he's having an active day. I think it's going to be a massive amount of contrast here for a presidency like what we're going to see out of Trump and versus what we've had out of Biden. I was watching Trump today, and Bannon and I were talking earlier today, watching him walk down the hall of the Capitol, and the words that came to mind to me were gritty, resilient, determined, and audacious. There's not like a more perfect advertisement for the value of these qualities in modern America. I mean, you think about all the things that happened to him. Winning, losing, the court cases, nearly being assassinated. It's rather audacious what he has accomplished, winning this election and taking office today. And I, you know, you said you were in shock. Well, Republicans are in awe.
What about the pardons? What's your take on that?
Here's what I think. Were these people punished? Yes. Were they ruined financially? Yes. Did they spend time in jail? Yes. Have their lives been ruined? Absolutely. And one of you said earlier, Van or Axe, that you think this sends a terrible signal that you can get away with things like this, as though we've never had a moment in recent American history when people were not punished for rampaging around when they shouldn't have been. It was the summer of 2020. And these people were actually punished. Those people were never even charged.
That's not true at all.
Those charges were not.
But I do see it differently in that I don't like it.
Okay, it's Van Jones. And the fact of the matter at the end there, you know, it's not true. They weren't charged. Most of them were sent on their way after they burned buildings and looted property. And burn a police precinct. There was no retribution. There's a documentary that came out about 2.5 years ago in Minneapolis that really did a great job. I forget. I think it was Minneapolis's Burning, which we had it on our website for a while, and it was done by a former news anchor from Minneapolis who got a crew together and did some really serious investigating and. Nothing happened to the people who did that. I mean, they just burned it and went on their way. Look at Seattle. How much time did they occupy a whole section of Seattle? Remember, they literally took over a park and a precinct, and they literally made it theirs for like a couple of months, maybe longer. There was no punishment. No one went to jail. And you're going to hear from the left, well, there was too. No, there wasn't. What is the old saying? Don't urinate on me and tell me that it's rain. Okay. I'm trying to be polite about it. Don't do that. The fact of the matter is, and by the way, the left will do this for the next 4 years. For the next 4 years, the left is going to lie constantly about Trump. Constantly, he will be the most.
And they have the media as the bullhorn to do it. You know, you've got to sit there. We've got to do something about that. The media thing. And I don't know what you do because there is money that keeps them going. They're not making money. I don't know how they can keep the power on.
One of the first things he signed yesterday as an executive order is the complete elimination of censorship. So we really can't. Trump is not going to put restraints on these. He's going to keep shining a light on their corruption, and they will collapse on their own weight of lies. After a while, people are waking up. Look at this past election. 30% of the people trust mainstream media now. It's never been so low. I heard somebody say, and it's so true, forget it, mainstream. The day of mainstream media is gone. They have shot themselves big time. Look at MSNBC. Do you think that'll ever come back to being a profitable, respected operation? The only way that becomes a profitable, respected operation is if someone comes along with a lot of money and completely changes the entire operation. I mean, they probably would have to rebrand it. Maybe take the MSNBC and just make it something else altogether because they have completely crapped all over that logo. It's synonymous to leftist lies. They talk about racism all the time on MSNBC, yet the biggest racists I've ever seen in media are on MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
It's an embarrassment for somebody who spent my whole life in media, my whole life in broadcasting. I used to take pride. I had friends of mine who worked at CBS. I'll never forget one of my newsmen when I was in New York was a guy named Bill Gillian, great guy. He was the voice of CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite. He was the guy who introduced Walter every night. I felt so honored to have him in the same room with me. He was just the announcer into the because it was such an important program at the time. Mm-hmm. The CBS Evening News, everybody trusted it. Everybody watched it. Now, they have taken these classic programs, these classic news programs, and they've crapped all over them.
And 60 Minutes used to be a great show, but not anymore.
The perfect example. Perfect example. When I was younger, 60 Minutes, and I'm sure, you just like you just said, it was the absolute epitome of trust. If it was on mm-hmm. 60 Minutes, it had to be right because they wouldn't put it on otherwise. And all I can hear right now, all I can hear right now is Leslie Stahl saying to President Trump, sir, we're 60 Minutes. We wouldn't put anything on that wasn't truthful. And I thought to myself, you either you're stupid or you're a blatant liar, Leslie.
She's a blatant liar. You know, I remember, though, the classic old days of 60 Minutes. I remember Barbara Walters. I remember, and now all I think about when NBC or anything like that, the face of that is Lucy Lefty, Rachel Maddow.
Yes.
You know, I'm sitting there going, and I'm going.
Or Joy
like,
Reid.
You know. I mean, there's a body looking for a brain. she's just. What?
No, I had never heard it put that way before. But it's true. She spent her whole life on MSNBC being a racist, complaining about racism.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she's trying to make you feel bad because you're white. That would be like me saying I'm trying to make her feel bad for being black. I have no problem with that. I think, you know, that you are what you are. Just don't be a liar. Hey,
God made variety in everything. God made variety in everything.
Spice of life is variety, and, you know.
But it's amazing. They try so desperately, the left does, to divide us, to make us angry with each other. And, you know, Biden did it for 4 years.
Yeah, you know what? There's power in division.
Yes.
You know, when you divide people into groups, you can take that one group over there, it's the biggest group, and that's your group.
What's the old expression, Bill? Divide and conquer.
Yeah.
Divide and conquer.
That's it. Yep. You know, I think the power of the numbers was really defined by Bill Clinton, where he sat there and said, you know, he would rather have 100% of 20% than, you know, 10% of 100%. You know, it was just, he didn't say it that way, but, you know, basically he worked with 20%. You know,
100% of 20% or 50% of 100%.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
It didn't matter. What he did is he worked with 20%.
Yeah.
So he sat there and said, you know, we're going to just carve out this 20%, but we're going to own that lock, stock, and barrel. You guys can have the other 80% and divide it amongst yourselves.
Traditionally, every time there's a transition between presidents, they leave a letter in the drawer, the Resolute desk in the Oval Office. And Peter Ducey was part of that press gaggle that was in the Oval Office yesterday when President Trump was signing those executive orders. And Peter Ducey asked President Trump about that letter.
President Trump, did President Biden leave you a letter?
He may have. Wait. Don't they leave it in the desk? I don't know. Oh.
What's in there?
Thank you, Peter. It could have been years before we found it. Wow. Thank you.
Can you read that on the outside?
Maybe we should all read it together.
Let's read it.
Well, maybe I'll read it first and then make that determination.
That sounds great.
Peter, thank you very much. I may not have seen this for months.
Happy to help with the passing of the torch.
I did. I left him one in the desk beside this.
What are you talking about in the memo?
Unification of our country. You know, I didn't know that he gave a pardon to his family because he did it during my speech.
He didn't tell you this in the letter?
No, he didn't tell me. No. He did it. They released it during my speech. During my speech. So all I could do was say, excuse me, I'd like to come back and speak some more. So, no, we were surprised by that. It's bad precedent, obviously.
Where are you thinking on tariffs on Mexico?
And that was that, but as he was asked the question about the letter, Trump opens the middle drawer and, oh, look, what do you know? He said, I might have never found this.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that Biden wrote it? Or maybe somebody on the staff, because it's tradition. Unification of the country, which is quite the opposite of what Biden has done or what he was doing on his way out with the pardons.
Yeah, I think that somebody else probably wrote it. I don't know whether Joe would take the time, whether it would be coherent enough. Biden looked angry yesterday in the ceremonies, and he sounded angry when he was at Andrews Air Force Base as he was getting ready to board the plane for the, by the way, whenever, it was so nice to see him get on the plane and leave this time, as opposed to seeing Trump last time. But I don't think this is the last. I think there are going to be things coming down the road that are going to prove difficult for these people. These people tried to ruin our country. What they did was treasonous. You may not believe that, but, I mean, look at that. Look at the border. The border is, has been until noon yesterday, open to everybody. And we have people in this country who are not here to do us well. We have people in this country, and they admitted to it, they're a terrorist here. They're a terrorist here, and there are cells here, and they plan to do things that are going to hurt us and our families. And it's thanks to Joseph Robinette Biden did it. Nobody else did it. You see how much power he had? Trump showed the power yesterday. It was Trump who, with the signing of a pen, signing of his signature, closed it. That's it. Next. Mm-hmm. And Joe didn't do it.
You know, it's interesting, though. You talk about the border and everything, and you talk about the cartels that he declared war on, you know, that he made them, you know, public enemy number one. And the media has a problem with that.
Yeah.
Why do you have a problem with, you know, basically declaring the cartel a terrorist?
If it's a sunny day and Trump goes out and says what a beautiful day it is, the media will complain about it.
Right, because he doesn't know where he gets his weather from.
Oh, they'll start to make some ridiculous comment about there was some subversive reason for him commenting on the weather, or you know that's how they are. They don't. And by the way, the media, with all due respect, the media is stupid. I mean, the media is stupid right now. We used to have some really smart media people. We have a handful of smart people. I can think of some people who are what I would consider to be, you know, the Sarah Cotters of the world, and other people who are really good reporters. But then, for the most part, the ham and eggers out there for these different organizations, not so much. And by the way, when you hear a press conference go on at the White House, I want you to be reminded about how passive they were to Karine Jean-Pierre. I mean, Karine Jean-Pierre couldn't carry a sentence properly, and yet they didn't ask any tough questions. Hardly ever any follow-ups to her that were of any significance. You watch what they do to Caroline Leavitt. They're going to go after her like pit bulls, trying to damage everything she says, because that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to change, but Trump knows this. Trump knows all this stuff. And I think Trump believes that he has the power of social media behind him, and he's going to use it. So they can lie all they want, but he'll get the information out to the people. He opened up, by the way, two new websites yesterday. On, I guess one was on X, presidential websites. No more just in his name. So you will want to follow the presidential websites to get the truth, because he's going to put all the real stuff there. You know, if you have a question about something, check it for yourself. You have that ability right now, thanks to the media that we live in. Don't rely on the mainstream media to give you the news, because they're gonna bend it and shape it to their liking. Trust me. Yeah. Franklin Graham, the great Franklin Graham, God bless him, a saint walking on this earth. He's the guy who started Samaritan's Purse, which has been instrumental in taking care of so many damaged people from the hurricanes, and I guess they're involved with the California fires right now too. Franklin Graham gave one of the opening prayers yesterday, and the first thing he said I thought was really interesting. Listen.
Mr. President, the last 4 years, there are times I'm sure you thought it was pretty dark. But look what God has done. We praise him and give him glory.
You got to love it. He says, but look what God has done. You're back here. You know, and President Trump in his speech, he said, look it. And he didn't pull any punches about this. He said, I believe that I'm here by the will of God in a miracle, and I'm here to make America great again.
Yeah. It took a lot of cojones to say that.
Yep.
Now, you know, you were talking about people that got up there, preachers that got up. If I were a preacher, I would not have wanted to have been the third line, because following up the gentleman in between, I don't recall his name.
Yes.
But he had the line of the day, the millimeter president. And I would go to his church. I would go because
it was a black minister, I can't think of his name, who was magnificent.
He was great.
He got up there and he turned it into a rally. You wanted to clap your hands. He had people clapping their hands. He just controlled the whole rotunda. And I'm sure he controlled people watching on television, too. I was enthused for him. He was terrific. And, you know, when he left, he didn't go back to his chair. He went out behind. He was like he left behind the curtain. He was like, I'm done.
Yeah, he did his thing. Yeah, the poor guy that came in after that, you know.
Yeah.
I might have been the guy that would have come up and said, yeah, everything he said.
Yes, ditto.
Thank you. Amen. You know, I would have said, everything he just said. Yeah.
Exactly. It was a tough act to follow, believe me. And the guy who came up afterwards was a calm, kind of nice.
Well, he was very good.
Yeah, he was good.
I'm not taking anything away from him.
Nope. But he didn't rock on like, I say rock on. It was like going to an evangelical, Saturday night prayer meeting. You know, he just had the place. If you didn't see it, I'm sure it's online somewhere. You should go see it.
He rocked the pulpit.
Yeah, if I find it today, I'll play it tomorrow because it was that good.
No, he was very good. Look, he's got his public speaking down. He had his introduction. He had the body of it, and he had the clothes of it.
Yep.
And he took it all the way through. So he was excellent at what he did.
Yeah, he really was. Do you have anything else you want to add before we wrap today's program up?
I don't know. We covered a lot of things, and I'm trying to think if there's anything that's worth talking about. I would just probably leave things where they are right now, because there's going to be a lot of things going down today. The news is going to be picking on they want to pick on the January 6th thing. I think you're going to see a lot of action at the border today. I think you're going to see a lot more coming down. They talk about all the executive orders that he came out with yesterday. I think that yesterday was just the beginning. There's a lot. There's going to be a lot about people offered from the left. They're challenging everything. They hit with some 90 lawsuits.
Yeah,
it's as soon as he goes, as soon as he was sworn in, the second he took the oath, They launched. They were just waiting there watching. Okay, release. You know, and that tells you what the Democrats are going to do for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
They are sitting there going, all right, we're the lawfare party. Let's do it. Let's file lawsuits. But I think they're going to be shut up.
You hear what President Trump said?
What?
He was asked about that, and he said, I don't think the challenges will make a hill of beans. These are very simple, and what did he say? They're very simple and very clear, meaning it's not a lot of legalese in these things. You got to do this because of this. You know, Trump made it so that there wasn't a lot of frosting on this cake. It was all cake. And that makes a difference in a lot of things. There's not a lot of things you can pull apart. You know, it's very, he was very upfront about what each one of these things means. He had the guy who was handing him the different documents to sign was one of his lawyers from the.
He was explaining.
Pardon?
He was explaining up front what it's
no,
about.
No, but he
it's
was like he was one of the lawyers from his lawfare days when he was being taken into court. So he has a track record. He's not just a flunky secretary handing stuff to Trump. He's a lawyer. Mm-hmm. So he was, and I would imagine he was one of the guys who helped put these things together. Trump didn't sit down and write each one of these documents. He had a team of probably the smartest young men he could find putting these together so that they, knowing full well that they're going to be challenged. Every one of these things that they signed, they knew that the left was going to come after him. So yeah.
He was very good at up front telling you what you were signing. It's like when you go and close on a piece of property on a house, you're getting a loan. There's the closer that goes there. That's the person that sits down and goes, okay, when you sign this form, this is what you're signing. Tell it to me in a sentence or two, no more than a paragraph, you know, and you go through and then you sign all those documents. And that's what he was doing, which I thought it was great because he was not only telling Trump, he was telling me what he was signing, so I knew exactly what it was.
What's interesting was I didn't see Mayorkas there yesterday anywhere. Mm. So he probably is on a plane somewhere out of the country, as well he should be, because I think he's going to find himself in some serious trouble down the road for what he did and the lies that he told the people. There's got to be some justice. It can't just be the transition of power and they all get to go home. Some of these people did some heinous things, and they're going to have to pay for it. It's just the way it is. And expect the left-leaning media to say, oh, this guy's a dictator. He's going after his enemies. No, he's going to be going after people who committed crimes and were treasonous. That's what he's going to go after. And that's the way
you
have to remember this.
Yeah, they're going to try to say dictator, 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 and they can't because one of the executive orders was to not weaponize the government. So, they're going to have a, but they'll take that narrative, but they're going to have a hard time with that one.
Yeah, there's a difference between weaponizing the government and justice. There's two different things. One is to use it as a tool to bludgeon your political opponent, and the other is to go after criminals. But doing the wrong thing, and if criminals happen to be in the last administration, so be it.
It's going to be an interesting 4 years. Really, you're going to get down to it's going to be an interesting 3 years because pretty much everything he wants to do, he is going to do probably within the first 2 to 3 years. Then they will be getting ready for the next president, which hopefully will be Vance, but we never know. You know, you can't predict the future, and we're not going to. One of the things that did transpire yesterday after the inauguration, Elon was out talking about, and he was excited about wanting to put a flag on Mars, you know, because that's his big thing. And he did the hand over heart and hand up, which is a Roman thing. It goes back to the Roman Empire. It does not go, and it's something that I've seen a lot of people do, the, you know, pat the heart or do the heart thump.
Sure.
And, yeah, just shake the fist up or the hand up. It's not a Nazi salute, friends. It is not a Nazi salute, Democrats. And you know that. So
of course they know that.
The damn lies.
It was heart. It means heartfelt appreciation.
Yes.
That's what it means. Heartfelt appreciation. That's when he puts it on me, you mean the world to me. You know what you what
I've
that.
I've seen celebrities do it on accepting awards. Sure. You know, they do that, and they almost cry. He was excited. He did a little dance, you know, because he wants to put a flag, put a person on Mars. I'm skeptical on that, but that's something that, you know, we are an exploring
He
country.
Wants to be one of the first. Must.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, he does, you know. I mean, and there is there a risk in doing something?
Absolutely.
Like that? Hell yeah. I mean, but life is a risk. And this country, I mean, Trump, you know, with Greenland and what's going on there and different things, he wants to expand and grow the country. If you didn't pay attention, go back and listen. He wants to grow this country.
Well, it's going to be an interest, like you said, interesting 3 years. And I think that I think we're going to see a lot of stuff this week. You know, you're going to see things today. Things
well, it's probably happening right now. Trump is not, you know, he's one of those guys, he doesn't sleep that much. If he went to bed last night at 2:30 or 3, he was up at 5 going, okay, got to do this, got to do that, got to do It's how he rolls, and that's just him, and there are people like that.
Hey, listen, have we mentioned Right Side Coffee before we sign off here? I think we should.
Well, it would be only we did it at the front, but rightsideshop.com is where you get all the Right Side product and the Right Side Coffee, and I'm going to take a swig right now because I know you love talking about Right Side Coffee.
It's a delicious blend of the finest coffee beans you can find. We make it as a medium roast and a medium decaf roast, and it's available at rightsideshop.com, rightsideshop.com. We would appreciate you tasting it for yourself, seeing what you think about it. And by the way, we don't make all the profit on those things. We make a percentage of the profits on those things. So I don't think that we're becoming, you know, rich coffee barons by doing this, but it will help the show down the road. No, we're not. We're going to hopefully be able to use some of this money to promote the show and grow the show in 2025. That's Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee, available at rightsideshop.com, rightsideshop.com. We also have Juan Jose and the Border Crossers. They're still here. They seem to be a little nervous and staying away from the windows. Yeah, they're still here, and they want to sing their jingle. So without any further ado, guys.
Wake up on the right side with Right Side Coffee.
Wake up on the right side with Right Side Coffee. I like that. What a nice
good stuff.
Yep. You know, it took them forever to memorize those lyrics, though, to that.
I can see that, you know.
Well, it is English, so that's true. I'm done, my friend. It's a wrap. Put a fork in it. I'm already thinking about tomorrow's show because I know there's going to be a ton of other stuff to talk about. It's going to be that kind of a week.
Yeah.
Have a good one,
Jim,
my friend.
Jim has this ability to see the future, and he already knows what tomorrow's news is.
That's true, but I'm keeping it to myself because tomorrow's another day, just like that line from Andy. But I do know that you're going to say our sign-off. I can see it already. You're going to say our sign-off.
You can see the words formulating in my mind.
Yes.
My lips are starting to shake. My hands are starting to quiver. Hasta la vista, baby! We're out of here!
This is CRN America.